Well, good morning, church. I'm excited to be with you this morning, excited to open up God's Word, explore some important truths. Before we do that, let me just do a few things. Number one, if you're a guest here joining us today, welcome. We're so glad that you would spend your Sunday morning with us. We truly mean that we're honored that you would be here with us. If you call Echo home, why don't you put your hands together real quick for those who might be joining us today. Come on, real big. Honored that you're spending your Sunday with us. Let us know if there's anything we can do to serve you. A couple other things I wanted to celebrate this morning. One is through our strategic partnerships with ARC churches. There's ARC churches all over America and in Europe as well. We are part of the ARC network, and we've been celebrating dozens of brand new churches that have been launching this fall. And I want to let you know that through your giving, you are part of two churches that are launching this month, including one that is launching today over in Denver, just like it's like around the corner, right? Out in Denver, and there's another one launching next week, I believe, in the Phoenix area as well. And so just thank you guys for your giving. You're making a difference even far beyond what's happening here. It's our mission statement. We echo God's love across our city and to the nations beyond what happens here. I also want to celebrate this with you. We love celebrating life change. It's a key reason why we gather every Sunday morning, is to give an opportunity for God to move in our lives and to do the work that only He can do. And I just want to celebrate this with you. We love when people are choosing Jesus, coming into a relationship with Him for the first time. And I just feel like there's a move of God happening that I need to like make us all aware of. And so since the beginning of September, we have seen 19 people raised to life in Christ just over like the last handful of weeks. How incredible, how amazing is that? Yeah, we never want to take it for granted. We always want to be celebrating what God's doing and leaning in, just believing that the best days are even still ahead for us. If that's you, if you're one of the folks that have been making a decision to begin following Jesus of late, listen, we want to help you grow in that. Let us know. We'd love to help you take your next step. Every one of us, myself at the top of the list, we have next steps that God offers to us, and we'd love to help you take your next steps. And that's probably a good segue for where we're headed today. We don't do this often, but I'm going to ask you to do something that we don't always do. Would you stand to your feet today as we open up and read God's Word? We're going to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you have your Bible, you're welcome to turn there. We're going to have it on the big giant screen behind me as well. Listen, today we're going to begin a message series. And listen, I believe this with all my heart, that it could, not only that it can, that it will significantly shift the trajectory of some people's lives in here today. I just believe that. I've been studying this and leaning into it, and I just think God's got something special for every single one of us. Today we're part one of our brand new message series called 1 Minute After You Die. And would you just raise your hand if this is you? You just don't really like talking about death. Like, it's not something fun. You don't look forward to it. You don't like the conversation. Like, I hear you. Like, I think a lot of us are that way. But the truth is, did you know this? You don't really die. You don't. You don't really die. Now, this body that you're in now, it ceases to exist, but you're going to go on living. Your soul is going to go on living somewhere else. And in fact, this is what the scripture says. This is what we're standing up for to read today. It says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taking down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven. What is this house in heaven? It's an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. There's maybe an answered question for somebody. Verse 4, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. Come on, somebody. Like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, this. Yeah, sometimes these bones creak a little more than other days, right? When we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Isn't that beautiful? There's just days where it's like, man, there's something going on. When your body is groaning, it's longing for its heavenly body. And someday, these bodies that are passing away, they're going to be swallowed up by life that's never going to end. It says this in verse 8. Yes, we are fully confident. Look at somebody around you and say, I'm fully confident. Go ahead. Come on, say it with confidence. I'm fully confident. Yes, we are fully confident. We would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. When we shed these earthly bodies, we're going to be at home with the Lord. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry about. When we shed these earthly bodies, we're going to be with the Lord. So what is our goal? What's our goal while we're in these earthly bodies, while we spend time in these earthly tents? What's the goal? What's our assignment while we are here? Verse 9. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body someday, our goal is to make a lot of money. Is that not what it says? Did I read that wrong? Our goal is to become YouTube famous, right? I mean, you just want to break through, get those hundreds of thousands of views. Our goal is to get a record number of likes on social media, have the perfect caption, the perfect filter, everything looks amazing, right? Our goal is to have the perfect house that all the rooms have that shiplap wall in them, right? I mean, come on, some of the ladies are like, yes, like that is the goal. You got to be careful saying shiplap in church. I was practicing that word. So what is our goal? So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal, you can say it with me, our goal is to please Him, to please Him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We'll each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we've done in this earthly body. Whether in this body or the next one, our goal forever is to please Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for today. Lord, what a privilege it is to be in Your presence. Lord, to lift up Your name, to open up Your word. Lord, You have given us clarity in what is coming next. Lord, you've taught us how to prepare today for all that is ahead. So God, would You open up our hearts? God, would You open up our minds? Would You speak to our spirits? Lord, would You bring Your hopefulness, Your love, Your encouragement, even Your conviction, God, so we walk out of here better than when we came in. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. On your way down, you got to high-five three people and say, your life matters. Your life matters. Three people around you, your life matters. All right, that's enough time for three people. Have a seat. All right, we got a lot to cover today. I'm going to let Scripture do the majority of the work, which means there's going to be a lot of Scripture. If you're okay with that, say, I'm ready. All right, you asked for it, so you're going to get it, all right? There's going to be a lot of Scripture. We're going to let it do the majority of the work. You might be thinking, why are we talking about eternity? Why are we talking about death? It's kind of a downer, right? And it's a good question. As a church, we want to be life-giving in everything that we do. That's a very clear goal of ours, is to give you life, to encourage you on your way into the week. I woke up Monday morning and I was reading through our Bible reading plan that we do around here at Echo that we teach in our class, Echo Steps, and I was reading it, and there it was. I just woke up, was in the New Testament. Paul, in one of his letters, was saying, set your mind on things above. Maybe you noticed it this week when you're in the reading plan. Set your mind on things above. Why are we talking about death? Why is Paul telling us to set our mind on things above? I'm going to give us one key point, not only for today, but for this whole series. This is the reason we're doing this series. If you don't have your message notes out, I encourage you to grab those out. These will be helpful to you, not only during this series and in your small groups, but even beyond this for weeks and months to come, I believe. Would you write this down? What you believe about eternity shapes how you live today. What you believe about eternity, it's going to shape the way you live today. That's why it matters. If you believe you're here on accident, there is no purpose, there is no God, when you're done here, you're done. You're going to live for today. You're going to be selfish. You're going to take in every pleasure life has now because there is no tomorrow. Conversely, if you believe there is life after this, that you are created by God on purpose, for a purpose, you're going to live to glorify God. How you think about heaven, it shapes the way that you live even here today. You will live somewhere. Your soul will go on living. The Bible is not unclear about that. It's very clear on that we will go on living. Next week, we're going to talk about these different places we could go on living. One of those, of course, next week, we're going to talk about the horrors of hell. Like, what is hell? Is it a real place? Who goes there? Why did God create it? What's going to happen there? We're going to talk about that. In week three, we're going to talk about what is heaven? What happens in heaven? Are we just floating around on clouds and, like, you know, strumming the harps? Like, are we going to have bodies? Are we going to recognize our loved ones? What happens in heaven? What is heaven all about? We're going to jump into that as well. Today, here's what I want to do. I want to talk about three things that happen after this life is done. Three things that happen after this life is done. The first one is this: our physical bodies die. Our physical bodies, what we see around us, they cease to exist. It says this, the writer of Hebrew says, and just as each person is destined to die once, each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. We'll stop there for just a moment. Recent studies have shown, doctors have looked into this, 10 out of 10 people die, every one of them. It's a crazy phenomenon that's taken the earth by storm, right? We all pass on. We all know that that day is coming for every single one of us. We don't know how we die, but we know that we will. Anybody else, like, I just hope it's not from something like a shark attack. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm from Indiana. I go get in the water, like in the ocean. It's like, that's all I can think about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's there. It's around me somewhere. There's a bunch of us that were in the ocean back in May, and there was something like that had like tentacles and was stinging us. There was like 8 of us. The results are still inconclusive. We don't know what it was because we got out of there. You know what I'm talking about? But it was like around us, and all I could think about, Meg, like, there's a reality out here. Like, there is a shark, and it's after me. Anybody, like, maybe it's just like on stage therapy for me. I don't know. But like, I don't want to die from a shark attack. I want to bring you some hope this morning if you're like me. Did you know that you are more likely to die from getting hit in the head by a champagne cork than by a shark? Like, isn't that, come on, you came to church this morning. I just gave you a little bit of hope. You are more likely to die on the beach from a falling coconut than you are in the water from a shark. Like, that's some good news, right? You are more likely to die from someone that has bad handwriting on a sign that has like a warning that you should have read than you are from a shark bite. You are more likely to die, this is crazy, from falling off the toilet than you are from a shark attack. Now that's some aggressive texting. Some of you need to admit that, right? Like, that's, you are more likely to die from sticking your head inside a vending machine and getting stuck than you are from a shark attack. You're welcome. That's some good news. You can go to the beach and have a lot of fun this coming summer. Who wants to think about the beach today? Like, come on, like, it's a little bit cold. Anyway, I'm sidetracking. We all come from dust. That's what the scriptures tell us. We come from dust. We're going back to dust. That's what's happening with these bodies. We are nothing but dust. I was telling that to a group of junior high boys one time, and they didn't hear all of the words. They went home and told their mom, Pastor Chad said we're butt dust. And it was like, that's not what I said. That's a different thing. Some of you will get that later. But, oh, I see what you're saying. All right. I got way off track from the verse. And just as each person is destined to what? Die once, and after that comes judgment. So also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, but not to deal with their sins, but to bring salvation. That's God's goal. That's God's heart. That's what everything we need to see in this whole series. That's his heart, to bring salvation to all who eagerly are waiting for him. The first thing that happens is our bodies are going to die. Here's the second thing. Our souls separate from our physical bodies. Our souls will separate from our physical bodies. Bodies die. Souls go on living. This is what Jesus said. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Don't fear people. No, have a reverence for God who can actually take away the soul, right? Body dies. Soul keeps on going. After you die, everybody goes back to Aunt Josephine's house for fried chicken, right? You will never be more alive. Think about that for a moment. After you pass on and this earthly tent dies and you go on, you will never be more alive than in that moment. What we see now is really just a shadow of the better things that are coming after this. Your soul will live on. And in the Gospel of John, there's this story of Jesus coming to see one of his friends. He was told that he was sick, and as he's arriving in town, Lazarus' sister, Martha, runs out and says he's dead. In fact, he's been dead for days. In the King James Version, it says it so eloquently about Lazarus. It says, Lazarus stinketh. It's there. You need to go look it up. I don't know if you would just say stanky or however you would word it, but that's what it says, that Lazarus stinketh. The point is, he's been dead. He's been dead for days. And then Jesus says this, I am the resurrection and the life. No one who believes, or the one who believes in me, will live even though they die. Think about that. Even though they die, they're going to live. And whoever lives by believing in me, they're actually never going to die. Your soul will keep on living. Now, where exactly does our soul go? We don't know that in detail. The Bible doesn't give us that. As we're waiting for this new heaven and this new earth that Jesus is going to bring about, that's spoken about in Revelation. But we are told that where we will go is infinitely better than where we are today. If you look at Jesus on the cross, on either side of Jesus, there are these two criminals. They are both guilty. The only one who's hanging on the cross who is not guilty is Jesus. He's in the middle. They're hanging on either side of him. And one of the criminals recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God. And has this moment of faith. And the criminal says this, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's your kingdom. I recognize that you are the Son of God. You are sent here by the Father. And he says, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Now, this is important. This is good theology that we find in this story. Because this man can do nothing for Jesus. Can we agree with that? There's no works that he can do to be saved. He can't give Jesus money. He can't jump down and serve Jesus. He's stuck to the cross. He does no more works before he dies. And then this is what Jesus says to him. Truly, I tell you, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. When this earthly tent passes away, when you die up here on this cross, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He was saved by faith. The grace of Jesus extended to him because of the faith that he gave to Jesus. He did nothing to earn it. It was only by this confession, this admission that you are the Lord. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. We don't know exactly where that is, but we do know it's infinitely better than where we are today. In fact, there's this one time that Paul was in prison, and we learned that Paul is struggling not with dying, but with living. Think about that for a moment. I think most of us, we would say, like, I want to stay, I don't want to go. Paul is saying, I want to go, I don't want to stay. He knows what's coming. He's struggling with living. He says this, for me to live is Christ. If I'm going to stay in this body, in this earthly tent, I'm just going to keep on sharing Jesus. Everything's going to be about Jesus. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We don't think about the world that way. Paul's saying to be done with this body is actually a better thing for me. If I'm to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire, this is his desire. This is his soul saying, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is what? It's far better. It's infinitely better to be done with this body and be there with my Lord. But it's more necessary, he says, for me to remain and be with you. He thinks he's still going to live on, and he does, to be fruitful in labor. But he's longing for this paradise, this heavenly home. In this body, I get to help others, but I really just want to be with Jesus. What happens 1 minute after we die? Our bodies die, our souls are going to go on living. Here's the third thing. We will all face judgment. We will all face judgment. It says this in one of Peter's letters. He says, you pray to God and call him Father. That's a good thing. But he says, but we're all going to be judged by the same way, by what we do. So while you are visiting here on earth, you should live with respect for God. Isn't that great language? While you're visiting here on earth, you're not here forever. You're only here for a short period of time. You're just passing through in the big picture, in the big scheme. So live with respect for God. There's a judgment coming. What happens 1 minute after you die? There's a judgment. In fact, we learn in scriptures that there's two judgments. Let me tell you about these two very distinct judgments. They have different purposes. The first is what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment. Scholars believe, I agree with them, that this judgment is specifically for non-believers, for those who have not placed their faith in Jesus, like the criminal on the cross did. Let me explain to you why I think that. It says this in Revelation chapter 20, then I saw, here it is, a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Say books. Just say it out loud with me. Books, plural, books. There were books. The books were opened. And then another book, say book, singular, book. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done and as recorded in the books. You see that plural. The dead were judged according to what they had done, recorded in the books. Verse 15. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. We're going to talk about that, the lake of fire, next week. What is this book of life, this book of life, the judgment, this great white throne judgment? It's based on the books. The books are filled up with what we've done with our lives. They're the books filled with pages of our deeds, good, bad, and otherwise, right? Come on, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many, you know, you filled up some pages of the books, you know what I'm saying? There's books, and that's what we'll be judged on based on what we've done. Now, you might be thinking, but I thought you said this was based on unbelievers, and that's true. So let me talk about this book of life for just a moment. Jesus, when he comes down from heaven, He's perfect. He's sinless. He's blameless. He's the Son of God, holy and perfect. So when Jesus goes to the cross, this is so crucial to understand. When Jesus goes to the cross, we would call him the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. He's the sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says that when we sin, that we are due a punishment, that there's a punishment that's supposed to come to us. We're supposed to be in our death forever. Jesus goes to the cross to absorb our punishment. Do you see that? He is the only one that can do it because he's perfect, because he's pure, because he's spotless. He's the only one that can be the atonement for our sins, right? No sinful person could do it because they were also sinful like us. Jesus goes to the cross and he's the perfect one. So when we place our faith in Jesus, when we say, I believe you took my punishment for me, and so I have forgiveness because of what you did, we are forgiven. Jesus didn't stay in the ground. He didn't stay in the tomb, right? He says that he was resurrected. He was brought back to life. And when we believe that Jesus was brought back to life, we actually, our spirits are brought back to life. We're born with dead spirits because we inherit a sinful nature. We are brought back to life. Our spirits come back to life in Jesus. Now, why is that important? Well, for all the reasons I just said, but let me add one more to it. When we place our faith in Jesus, our names are written in the book, the book of life. Your death is taken away forever, so you're written in the book of life. When your soul goes on living, it will go on living with God. It'll go on living with Jesus. And so what of the books? When you're in the book, when your name is in the book, all of the pages you filled up in the books are now erased. Isn't that good news? When you're in the book, right, you're going to stand, you're going to come to the great white throne judgment. When you're in the book, you're no longer in the books. All the things that you would not want to stand before God with are now erased. They're taken away. They cannot be held against you because Jesus already paid for your sins. But if your name is not in the book, you're still in the books. And so when you're in the books, you stand before God in judgment on your own. There's the difference. Now, what did we just read a moment ago? It's God's desire that you find salvation. That's why he sent his son. He wants you to be in the book. There's a very distinct difference between the book and the books. There's this great white throne judgment, but if you're in the book, you don't have to worry about this one. Your name is written in the book of life, and it cannot be erased. It cannot be taken away. One day, Jesus is talking about this great white throne judgment. He says something that's incredibly challenging, and so I think it's worth our time just to sit and think on it for just a moment. Jesus says this, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will actually enter. On judgment day," this great white throne judgment, "many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed miracles in your name." But Jesus is going to reply, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." This is an incredibly challenging thing to read. They're saying, "Lord, Lord, we did good things. How are we not in the book? Why are we in the books?" And there's a very distinct difference of what's happening here. If you read the totality of this chapter, Jesus is talking about false prophets and those that were seeking their own glory. But I think it's worth it for us to stop and think about it for just a moment. Jesus is saying that you were around me. You weren't under my lordship. Let me explain what I mean. They were saying, "Well, didn't we do good things in your name?" They were kind of doing it for their own glory. They were around Jesus. I think the modern translation, we got to put this in, what does this mean for us? Would be like, "Well, I went to church in your name. I put some money in the red bucket, you know, like the Salvation Army bucket, the guy that jingles the bell at Christmas, in your name. I did some good things for people in your name." And Jesus is going to say, "I didn't know you. You were around me." See, like when they were calling on Lord, Lord, it was almost like it was his first name. You with me? They were under the lordship of Jesus. He wasn't their Lord in the sense that he was the master, that he was the boss. No. They were just around Jesus. They were doing good things that we might call good, but they were never under the lordship of Jesus. When we come to a place where we place our faith in Jesus, we're saying, "I'm no longer in charge. The old me is dead. The new me has a new master, and it isn't me," right? It's him. What he says goes. He's the boss. He's the master. He's calling the shots. And that's what Jesus is saying. There's a difference. You don't just get to be around me. You actually have to follow me and do what it is that I'm telling you to do. I was thinking about this week. Whenever Katie and I and the kids were down in Jackson, Mississippi, I was at an amazing church. I was had the privilege of leading 6,000 people a weekend at our church, and we loved our church. We were doing amazing things. Hundreds getting saved every year and baptizing. Amazing things. Great place. We had a wonderful home. We had great friends. Life was good, if you know what I'm talking about. Like we were fine. But God was so clear that he was calling us back home to Indiana to start Echo Church. Now, if I were to stay in Mississippi, was I doing a good thing or a bad thing? I think for most of you, like, well, he's like leading a church. He's doing good things, right? But God spoke and said, no, you're supposed to do this. If I was to stay, I would have been around God. I wouldn't be under his lordship. Are you following me? That's what Jesus is talking about. You don't get to just do things. You don't get to call your shots. You don't get to do it your way. There's a Bible, and it's very clear on how we're supposed to live our lives. And when we have been saved through faith, right, we follow him. We do what he says. Whatever he says goes. I'm no longer in charge. He's the master. And the question Jesus is saying is, are you around me? Were you like in church? Did you do some good things? Or were you under my leadership? You're under my lordship. You were following me moment by moment, day after day. I think people assume because I'm a pastor, I always feel like doing church things. You know what I'm saying? Like people like, well, you're the pastor. That makes sense. Can I confess to you, if that's what you think, like I don't always feel like doing the right things. You know what I'm saying? I was telling our dream team earlier. I'm like, I don't always feel like getting up at 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning to get ready. Like it doesn't. You know, like it doesn't always feel good. It's dark and it's cold out, and I like to stay in bed like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I don't always feel like writing the tithing check. I mean, I just, you know, just love seeing that money go out of the bank account every month, right? I mean, no, like I don't always, like, I'm not always good at sharing my faith. You know, I think people are like, well, you're a pastor. You're probably in every setting. You just always feel comfortable. You could just share it. No, just like you. I have challenges. It can be hard. People assume, well, like you just love serving in every situation and being sacrificial. No, I'm selfish just like you. And I have moments where I don't feel like it, but I'm not in charge anymore. He is. He's the Lord. He calls the shots. And so whatever he says, I'm going to do because I died. That old self is gone. New self has a new owner and a new master, and he's calling the shots. You see the difference? I'm not just around him. I'm under his leadership. I'm under his lordship, and what he says goes. There's this great white throne judgment, and Jesus is talking about the difference. He says, I never knew you. The Greek word there, when he says, I never knew you, is gnosko, and it's not like a head knowledge. It's like a heart knowledge. It's like a relational, like I knew you. There was intimacy. There was relationship, and when we're under his lordship, we're in this relationship with him. It's an important distinction. Here's the second judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Paul is talking to followers of Jesus in his letter to the church at Corinth. That's important. You need to know that. You need to know who he's speaking to because then you know who it's written to and what it's about. He's speaking to believers. He says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, different from the great white throne judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We need to know what's going on here in this verse. When Paul talks about this judgment seat, he actually uses the Greek word bema. Bema comes from the Greek Olympics. The bema is where a judge would sit, not to see who would qualify for the race, but everybody that had already qualified for the race, they had run the race, and then they would come and get an award for being faithful and finishing the race. Do you see the difference? They had run the race. They had done a good job. And then they come, and they get their award. And so Paul is saying, all of us who are followers of Jesus, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and Christ is waiting to award us. He's waiting to give to us our due based on the good, it says the good and the bad that we did. This is not a working for salvation. We need to be clear on this. This is not a salvation judgment. That already happened. You're in the book of life. You don't work for salvation, but make no mistake about it, there will be rewards for your work. See, what we think about eternity shapes how we live today. How we live today will shape how we live in eternity. You need to think about that. the things we do now will actually build up for us treasures in heaven. That's what Paul's talking about. Jesus is going to be standing there waiting and watching and say, with all the resources I gave you, with all the time and the talents, everything I gave you, what did you do with it? I mean, it's not going to be a negative thing. He's going to circle around like, I just want to see. Like, what did you do? Because I'm waiting to reward you for what you have done. We're not working for salvation. We're working from salvation. Because of what Jesus did, right? I was destined for hell. I was dead in my sins. My spirit was dead. Jesus came and took my punishment. I've been raised to life in him. I can't wait to serve him. It's not that I'm trying to serve him to get my salvation. I've already gotten it. And what a privilege it is to serve Jesus. There's a drastic difference in the two. What we do now matters for how you will live eternally. In this, Paul was talking about what is due. Right? There's an award. There's something that's due you based on what you have done. He says these words, good and bad. Good comes from the Greek word agathos, and it means like excellent, honorable, praiseworthy. Well, you're going to be awarded for the excellent, praiseworthy, honorable things that you do. And the word that we translate as bad comes from the word phallos in Greek, and it means like, it can mean wicked or evil, but it can also mean worthless, useless, of no account. Do you see what he's saying? With these resources that you were given, did you do agathos, excellent, praiseworthy things, or did you do phallos, things that were of no account? Things that were worthless, that just didn't add up to eternity. And I don't know about you, but I want this account to be much higher than this account. That all the things were excellent, praiseworthy, that we're going to live on, we're going to last on, I want to live for those things and start lessening these things that are of useless, of no account, that are going to add up to nothing. Paul's saying you have the opportunity to stand before Jesus, and he was going to come around you and say, what did you do with what I gave you? What are we going to be rewarded for? We're going to be rewarded for how we treat people, how we take care of one another. Did you care for the least? Did you care for the outcast, the poor, the broken, the hurting? We'll be judged on our motives, like why we did what we did. We'll be judged based on our words. Some of us, we need to hear that. We'll be judged on the words that we speak. We'll be judged on how you endured suffering. Did you see what you were given as an opportunity to bless others? When you brought somebody to Jesus, you shared Christ with them and they came into a relationship with Jesus, you'll be rewarded for that. How wonderful will that be? When our life's over, time on earth is done, we're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. He'll say, some of you serve kids in the kids ministry every single Sunday, and here they are. Like they're here with us because of what you did. You greeted people and you shared the love of Jesus with them in the name of Jesus. And here they are. They're here with us. You didn't have much, but you gave sacrificially. You tithed faithfully. You gave. And here's the difference that it made. Well done, good and faithful servant. When no one was looking, you did the right thing. You visited me in prison. You comforted me when I was sick. You gave me food when I was hungry, water when I was thirsty. We're going to say, Jesus, when did we serve you? He's going to say, when you did it for the least of these. You did it for me. Jesus, right now, he's waiting. He's scheming to reward you for what you're doing with what he has given you. What did you do with it? See, what you believe about eternity shapes how you live today. I told you at the beginning that as I've studied and prayed and prepared over the past few weeks for this series, that it just brought about a renewed sense of purpose and perspective and joy, just flooded with peace as I think about what's coming. But can I be honest with you? I've also had some convicting times as well. Moments where it's been very clear for me that I'm not living for eternity. I'm not proud to say that, but that's the reality. That as I was studying, there was just these moments where it's like, no. Chad, you're missing it. See, what I falsely believed is that the longer I walked with Jesus, it would become easier to live for eternal things. And what I've discovered is that the longer I live, the more I'm on earth, the more my roots want to grow down deep for things of earth. I want to be more comfortable. I want to be more set. My heart is torn between things of heaven and things of earth. There were times whenever I would walk around, and like every person, every one I came in contact with, I saw as an opportunity to be love and light. Can I just be honest? There's times most of the time I'll go to the gym and I just want to get my workout in and not talk to anybody. And I'm missing it because I'm not living with an eternal perspective. There's times I want to be comfortable. I want things for me as opposed to living sacrificially for others. I'm living for today and not for what's coming. There's times that I care more about what people think of me than what God thinks of me. There's times I get frustrated with the people around me when they're supposed to be the people I'm a missionary to. You with me? And there's been these convicting moments where God will just kindly come up beside me and say, "You're living for the things that are here and not for the things that are coming." Paul says, so whether we are here in this body or someday away from this body, our goal is to please Him. So how do I correct this pull? This constantly pulling my roots down into the things of earth. Katie and I were traveling over a week ago in Southern California. When we travel, I don't know about you, but like I've got to use navigation. You know what I'm saying? Like I have no idea where I'm going. Like I gotta get out the GPS, connect to the car, and figure out where in the world I'm going. But it doesn't always help me. You know what I'm saying? Like you think it would, and I don't know, there's times where it'll say like turn in 1,000 feet and I turned in like 10 feet. You know what I'm saying? Like I turned like way too soon. And what does the nav system do? It recalculates. Or there's times we're just enjoying the scenery. We're just chilling and we're like, yeah, you were supposed to turn like 5 blocks ago. And what does it do? It recalculates. My question for us is how do we recalculate? Like how do we recalibrate when our souls want to grow comfortable here? How do we cut off the roots and recalculate to reset our hearts and our minds for what's coming? Because my guess is this happens to a lot of us. Here, let me give you some things that I use to reset my heart, the things I've learned that help me break the roots and live for what really matters. For me, it's incredibly important to give faithfully. One of the most important things I do to cut the roots of my life of greed and to be comfortable is I sit down. That's what I do in our house. I'm the one who writes all the bills. I will sit down and I write the tithe check first because I have to break the grip of greed all the time. And sometimes that means I have to give to where it's uncomfortable, where I'm like, God, are we going to be okay if I do this? You kind of like just because it helps me break the grip of greed. There's times whenever I want to like, why is nobody looking out for me? Or why you know, I want more for myself, and I'll be reminded, no. Like, how can you bless somebody else? How can you encourage somebody else? And so I'll pick up the phone and I'll text or I'll call or wherever I might be, just find somebody. I'm like, no, like they're my mission today. I'm going to go and encourage them and bless them because it's helping to break the roots of the grip of this earth. There's times when I know that I need to get up earlier. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Like I want to sleep in. It's getting cold. It's getting dark. I want to sleep in. But I have to get up earlier and I have to get in the word longer. And I have to be on my knees before the Lord longer because I got to break this grip of the things of earth, these roots. I don't want to just read the Word of God because it's a discipline. Although sometimes you have to do that, you just keep reading. I want to get up and read the Word of God because I can't wait. It's so life-giving. I just love being near the words of God. That's how I break these roots in my life. It's how I recalculate and recalibrate my heart to live for what's coming. Listen, one day our hearts, these earthly bodies, they're going to beat for the last time. And there's no do-overs. We get this one here. And I have to fight to keep the eternal goal constantly in front of me. And if you find yourself caring more about the things of this world, it could be sports, football, shoes, getting the degree, getting the new house, the new car, the next vacation, being popular. Can I beg you to cut off the roots? Let's do the things that matter. Let's do things that are going to last. Let's ask the Spirit of God, would you recalibrate my heart? God, I know there's one goal. I'm just passing through here. Would my one goal be to please you? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. God, that you are so kind and gracious to us. Lord, even when our hearts get off, you help us find ways to come back, Lord. When we've been walking our way, Lord, you step down into the time that you created. You allowed yourself to be nailed to a cross with materials you made, all because you wanted to bring us your grace and your salvation. Lord, help us to live beyond the things today. As we're praying, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. Maybe you're like me, and far too often your roots are digging down deep for the things of earth, and today you say, no, I want to be recalculated. You're a follower of Jesus, and you say, no, I want to be recalibrated. I want to focus on the things that are coming ahead. I want to break the grip of what's holding me here. If that's you right now, would you just raise your hand up high? I'd love to have the privilege of praying for you. There's so many of us. Just raise it up high. It's wonderful. Put your hands down, and would you just pray this prayer in your heart? Would you say, Lord, thank you for Jesus? Just sit in that for a moment. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your grace. Would you just tell him, say, Lord, I confess too often my heart is set here, not on the things of heaven. Would you just say, Lord, would you cut the roots today so that I can set my mind on things above? Lord, would you help my one goal today and tomorrow, every day this week and the days thereafter, Lord, would my one goal be to please you? As we continue to pray, I want to give others an opportunity to respond. Maybe you're here and you're not sure if you're a follower of Christ, or you would say, I don't think I've ever surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. Listen, if you've been around here a little while, you'll know we're not about fear. We don't believe in scaring people into heaven. That's not what we do. The Bible says it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. And yet, we also know we've got to understand the fullness of what Jesus is saying. He says, there'll be some that will say, Lord, Lord, who never came under my authority. If today's your day to say, Jesus, you are my Lord, you are my Savior, I need your forgiveness, and I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. Say, today is my day to begin following Jesus. If that's you, on the count of three, just raise your hand up high, every eye closed, heads bowed. This is just an opportunity for you to say, Lord, that's me. I'm coming under your Lordship today. On the count of three, one, two, three, just raise it up high and say, today is my day. It's wonderful. Anybody else? It's wonderful. You can put your hands down and just pray this simple prayer. Would you say, Lord, thank you for Jesus? Just tell him that. Would you say this? They say, Lord, I believe you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Say, I believe you rose up from the dead to give me a new life. And just tell him this. Today, I come under your Lordship. Lord, I don't just want to know you. I want you to know me. You're calling the shots from now on. You're in charge. I'm following you with everything I've got. God loves that prayer. Father, we thank you that you are a very kind and gracious God to us. We know that these prayers that we prayed today, they don't just stay here, that they're actually going to transform us. They're going to move us forward this week and the days to come, that we can set our hearts, set our minds, set our souls on things that are above. Listen, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, we love to celebrate as people are walking closer to God. Come on, we put our hands together for those that celebrate some life change today. Come on.